Hello, everyone. Welcome to a extra special edition of Take the Black Live, your weekly show diving into all things Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, Outlander, Lord of the Rings, Wheel of Time, The Witcher, Westworld, Walking Dead, all the W shows.
Oh, yes.
Anything we're talking about. I am Dan Slunky, editor of Winchcoin.net, and I'm here with
Mia Johnson, entertainment editor at fansided.com.
So I've heard.
Yes.
All right, Mia, today we have a special guest come out in a little bit.
Yeah.
Talk about Outlander, because we know some of you guys are way into it. We'd like to get into it. But first, I think we have to start by talking about the breaking news. Sophie Turner, our own.
Yeah.
the world's own Sophie Turner, Sansa Stark, Game of Thrones, is pregnant.
Yeah.
Hooray. That's like all it is for say,
Joe
really.
Joe Jonas.
You know, I was a little, like, hesitant to even report on that because it's, I don't know, it's like, you know, it was like breaking news, like sources confirmed Sophie Turner is pregnant, which is like a little weird, you know?
It's like, I mean, they're on social a lot, they're on Instagram a lot, so I feel like in their own time, they'll be like,
I'm sure, But then it was like everyone saying it.
Yeah, all, so it's like, okay.
Like, who are the sources who, like, people talk
the
to?
Source that you say?
That are like, I know this person who's pregnant. And then it's confirmed by, like, two other independent sources. Like, who are these spies?
Yeah. It's like, my uncle used to work at HBO and... So.
Through the grapevine. I went to a baby shower. Like, I don't know. It seems weird to me. But assuming it's true, which I think it is, congratulations, obviously. It's very, very cool.
Phew.
The first Game of Thrones baby. Very, very exciting. Yes. Hi, Drew Lee. Hey, Diane.
Hello,
congrats
everybody.
To Sophie and Joe. So that'll be cool.
You know, a little sad for all the old Jonas Brothers fans who are my age and like, like, well, we had no chance.
Were you that age where it was like Jonas Brothers were big and it was like, we're into that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think Nick was my personal favorite, though, but Priyanka is definitely a better choice. So
is Nick the famous one?
He's the lead, so Nick, Joe, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know Nick. I know Joe because of Turner.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the other one at all.
Well, that's fine. Nobody. Yeah, you're not alone.
Okay. We shouldn't trust Jon Snow. Let's talk this about. Anyway, in other Game of Thronesy news, we had a couple of them at the Oscars this Sunday. Very exciting. Where, by the way, just I know the Oscars are already a week old, but it still bears repeating.
This couple of days old.
That's 8 weeks in internet time. bears repeating, Parasite won, you know, the
huge,
first non-English language film in history to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
I saw it like that weekend and I was very glad I did because I was like, all right, I am on this train.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't, it's weird, not to say I wasn't convinced, like for any other like odd reason, but I'm definitely like, I actually want to, I'm like, I'm going to go watch it tonight.
It was good.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, I should hold it for this weekend, but it's like, no, it's snowing tonight. It'll be the perfect time to get cozy.
It's tonight. You're going to watch it?
Yeah. I think I'm going to download it tonight and watch it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's one that I think was, it was better because I didn't really know a lot about it going in.
Mm-hmm.
As you hear also, they're going to, HBO is making a TV miniseries version of it, which struck me as a really kind of odd choice when I heard about it. Like, that one?
And aren't they were like, they're eyeing Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, exactly.
Start?
The Hulk. Like, starring the Hulk. I would like to talk about what happened in it, but I'll just let you go sign up for yourself.
Yeah.
But I mean, after one Best Picture, I'm like, okay, I think they were smarter than they let on.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, that was very cool. And also, I was a little sad because we didn't get to see Game of Thrones stars go up onto stage. Because they might have had different movies won. For example, we had Dean Charles Chapman, who is the star of 1917, which I did not see. Who played Tom, remember King Tommen Baratheon? Poor Cersei's little baby boy
who
jumped out the window.
Well,
poor guy. But he looks happy here.
Yeah, I thought 1917 was going to be the one to take Best Picture. And then it was like, nope. So,
anyway, he looks good. I mean, we can do fashion things, but whatever. It's a tux. It's nice. Did you see that movie, by the way?
1917? I'm not a war movie person at all. And I get that it's like a big cinematography thing. But I was like, it's that and it's British. I was like, that's just a recipe for me to fall asleep. I'm so sorry. That or like Dunkirk. I was like, I
Dunkirk
would love to.
Bored me senseless. I saw that one. And I'm sorry. If you love it, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Like, I was when is this war going to be over? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's neither here nor there, though.
I get it.
I'm very talented. Also movies I didn't see. Alfie Allen, who played Theon Greyjoy, also at the Oscars. He did not win an Oscar. I think he is holding Taika Waititi's Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay there for Jojo Rabbit.
I would love
because he was in it
to hold that.
Of course he
would. Wait, why? How did I not know? Oh, okay.
Did you see Jojo Rabbit?
I have to see that too.
I didn't see it either. I saw a bunch of almost all of them. Yeah. I'm just like missing the ones that I happen to skip. I think it'll be cool when a Game of Thrones cast member does finally win an Oscar. I'm sure it'll happen sooner or later. And it would have been cool to see one of them up on stage if they had won, but I'm pretty happy Parasite won.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what you think about it, because I am wondering if
you'll
like it.
It's a thriller, isn't it? I'm a big thriller person. I don't like horror, but I like thrillers. So.
It's a thriller, but it's very much based in, like, you know, it's got a good character base.
I feel like it's probably like right up my alley. I hadn't kept my eye on it the way I should this award season till it was too late.
I know, me neither. It's expanding out into other theaters now. Which But yeah, next week we can talk about it, because I'm curious if you think about it, and then we can look forward to the HBO show of Parasite starring the Hulk as Mr. Kim or whatever he's going to play. All right, so that's that. The Oscars, very nice. Congratulations to all the winners. And now I want to bring on Wick writer, contributor extraordinaire, Ariba Bouvad, to talk about Outlander. The Star Show. Star Show, right? Thank God. I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. Four seasons running. Very big show. I think, of course, we've all heard about it. I never got around to watching it myself, which is part of the reason I wanted to bring you on, Ari, because you are kind of like our go-to person on Wick. When there's an Outlander story, it's like, is Ariba available? Can she write about it?
Outlander is... I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Of course. So I guess I just want to ask, as an Outlander fan, like, because you're someone who has watched all of it and apparently is really into it, like, how'd you first find it?
So I'm a huge, like, I love period dramas, anything to do with history or anything historical. So I was looking for a new show, and I think this was after the first season had already aired, and I kept seeing some stuff about Outlander. So I'm like, what is this show? And I started watching it after the first season. I was like, oh my God, I need more. And I think the second season was about to come out.
Right.
So yeah, I just kind of stumbled across it. But yeah, there was so many people talking about it. And because it is based on a book series by the same name, there's already a huge fan, you know, community that exists. And there's so much about it already. And even if you go to conventions, like any panel you go to Outlander related, you'll see like all these people, middle-aged women there, so excited to like be a part of the panel because they're so in love with the story. So yeah, it's really fun, actually.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, it's not just like a book. It's been a book series that's been going on since like the early 90s, I think. Like a long time ago.
Yeah, I think even the 80s. I think it may even be the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
I have just Googled it. Apparently, it was 91 was the very first Outlander book.
Okay.
That's a long time. Like,
yeah, it's really
That's longer than A Song of Ice and Fire has been around. So it's been going on for quite a long time. And just really quickly, if you would summarize it for a newbie, how would you lay out what is Outlander?
Let's see. Okay, so at its heart, it's obviously a love story, but trying to put it in a nutshell, it's basically a time-traveling romance that...
Love it so far.
Yeah, it involves action, there's drama, there's a lot of passion, and, you know, the gist of it is that there's a character that goes back in time accidentally, and she goes from the 1940s to the 1740s, and she finds herself in another time, a different place, and she ends up falling in love in this place. And that's kind of where the story goes on from. And you meet all kinds of people through her kind of time traveling adventures. And then, of course, it brings in Sam Heughan's character, Jamie, who is from the 18th century. And so, if I can explain it, it's just a time traveling love story, basically. But
I think that's an excellent tagline for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this is a dumb question. But like, so is Jamie Sam Heughan?
Heughan? Yeah, Heughan. I think so. I'm pretty sure it's Heughan, yeah.
Is he the Outlander?
What is an Outlander?
What is an Outlander? I guess...
That's a half-serious question. I don't know how serious it is myself.
I'm like, I don't, you know, unless that's addressed in the book, which I only started reading the first book, I'm not sure we know that yet, or if that even is a thing, but maybe someone listening will have a better explanation.
I wonder if it's Claire is the person who comes, who's time traveler. So in German, foreigner is, the word is Ausländer, which literally just means an outlander person from an outside land. So that could be it. She's coming from an outside land over to Scotland or wherever.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably it. You're right.
According to Crystal, Claire is the Outlander and Jamie is a Highlander. Jacqueline, by the way, says Outlander's the best. Can't wait. Love historical dramas. Caught it on Stars halfway the first season and hooked. And again, like hooked for a long time. So like, what has kept you coming back like year after year? Because it's been going on for four seasons now. We're going into the fifth. And yeah. I mean, from where I'm sitting, the fandom has all only grown. So do you have like an opinion of like what has kept people kind of hooked and like plugged into this series and coming back for more? Like, why has it been kind of like Game of Thrones, like growing as it's gone along?
As it goes on. Yeah, I think a lot of it is definitely the characters. I mean, obviously the central characters are Jamie and Claire, but I think you find yourself every season getting invested in even secondary characters, and you, even if you've never read the books, you're just watching and you want to know what's going on with each person. And then because there's so many aspects to it with the time travel and you're in different time periods, and I just think that part of it is so alluring for people watching because you're just hooked to like what's going on. And I think the love story between Jamie and Claire is definitely the one thing that I think any fan will say is like the reason why they're coming back every year to, you know, or every couple of years to watch what's going on. And I think that's probably the main reason. But yeah, I think the characters and the love story is definitely what keeps people wanting to see more. And yeah, even if you haven't read them, and I think if you haven't read the books, it's more exciting to know what's coming ahead because you have no idea, versus if you're a book reader, you may have sort of an idea, you know, because they stay pretty close to the material.
Yeah, I've always thought that about like Game of Thrones too. Like back in the day when they were adapting the books, like people knew what was going to happen, but they still watched and even grew further. It doesn't really like preclude your interest.
Yeah, same goes with like Harry Potter or like Hunger Games. It's just, it's exciting to see it translated on screen or sometimes even bashing and be like, oh no, they missed this or they didn't get the hair color right.
Oh yeah.
Chandra says the love story, and I have heard that like it's like the ship to end all ships, Jamie and Claire, that it's like the ultimate thing you go in for.
Yeah. So now I think they're my favorite couple on TV for sure.
I think I've read that in your posts.
Yeah. Makes sense. Just in case you didn't know.
All right. So about the characters, I'm not 100% sure if you can actually see this. We'll see. So now we talk about the basics. So now that we're going to season five.
Yep.
I want to show you this picture. You just explain, like, run down this line. Who are these people and what is going on with them going into the new season? Like, why should we be invested? What are their burning conflicts?
All right. So starting from all the way to the left, we've got Roger, and then we've got Brianna. Brianna is the daughter of Claire and Jamie, who are to the right, to the left, you know, the second two to the right. So we got Claire and Jamie. And basically in this picture, it is Brianna and Roger's wedding. And to get to this point, it's been very dramatic. And there's, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in season four that finally got them to this point. Didn't think it was going to happen, but it finally did. It finally is. And I think this is what season five is opening up with, is their wedding. And I believe that's also, unless someone else has read the book that's listening, but I believe the fifth book also sort of starts with a gathering and I believe the wedding. So they're kind of sticking close to what happens in the books here. And I'm sure things will be different here and there. But yeah, going into season five, we're going to see this wedding take place. And I think this might be one of the few happy moments we have this season, because this season will be about Jamie being in the American Revolutionary War. He's, of course, fighting on the British side, which is controversial because, you know, he fought against them in Scotland. And so there's a lot of there's going to be some war elements to this again, which we haven't really seen in a while. So, yeah, I mean, that's the gist of it. And I think that's, we're going to be going into that, I think, pretty quickly into season five, because it's such a big, significant part of this season. And based on interviews with all of these guys, that's pretty much what they're alluding to as well. But at least we're opening with the wedding, so that's exciting.
You have to have some sweetness before it starts to crumble all down on you. It's a lesson we've learned. What are you looking forward to this season? Like, what do you want out of it? What's your, like, your best and worst case scenarios?
Yeah, I think best case scenario, it'll be that everyone's just a little more happy, because sometimes I think we end seasons on a sad, somber note, and I think the best case scenario would be that things end up okay at the end of the season just for us.
Stick okay.
And worst case, I mean, there is conflict that is between Jamie and another character, and I would be really sad to see that crumble in any way, because that's such a strong relationship that's built up over the course of this season. And this character is really a meaningful person in Jamie's life. So I would be really sad to see something bad happen there. So I'm crossing my fingers that doesn't happen. But yeah, overall, I'm just hoping that we get some happy moments, even though it seems like that may not be the case.
Can I ask you, like, because I know that, again, we've talked about this as a book series. Are you ever tempted to, like, just kind of flip through the fifth book a little bit and just, like, flip to the parts you're nervous about and see what happens? Or you've just avoided that completely?
I'll avoid it completely. Like, I want to read the book, so I'm, like, I've started reading the first one. But, yeah, I'm the type of person that's, like, I just want to be surprised. And later when I read the book, it'll fill in the gaps.
I think it was great self-control. I totally skipped to the end of books. I'm horrible like that. But that's a me problem. Julie is saying, looks like Roger is waiting to go back to his own time. That'll be interesting if it's true.
Yeah. If that does happen, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think that'll also be an element of the season for sure.
I mean, I guess if you're in the Revolutionary War, like, and you have the option to go back to, like, indoor plumbing or something in the 60s, like, it was not the worst option you could take.
Yeah, but I guess I think with that, there's also there will be a complication of whether or not he can go back with his family, because his wife, or his going-to-be wife, Brianna, had a baby, and that's also part of the season is, you know, they have their family now, and not, based on what we learned last season, it's not for sure if she could also go back in time, but that's something I think we'll find out this season as well. Mm. So that might be a reason why he doesn't want to go back.
I don't want to, like, get too into the weeds here, but I'm a little curious. So are there, like, time traveling rules? Like, are you allowed to go back, but you're not allowed to go forward? Or, like, it's like a cap or something?
You know, I've always wondered why, and I don't know.
I'm sure Reddit knows.
Answered. Yeah, but I've always wondered why it is that specific point in time that they go to, because Claire, of course, has gone back to her present time during the book, in the books as well as the series. And so there's only certain people that are able to go back and forth or are able to time travel at all. It's not everybody. So not everybody can go up to these stones in Craignadun and travel. Craignadun is the name of the circle of stones that you time travel from.
Sure.
Yeah. So everybody cannot do it. But yeah, so I'm curious as to, and I wonder if anyone can answer this question, because I don't know if it's addressed anywhere, but I don't know why it goes to that specific point in time. So that's a question I still have. But yeah, only certain people can time travel. They hear this noise and something happens and they're able to do it. So that's something you kind of learn.
Yeah, I mean, we can ask the commenters. If anybody out there knows the rules of the time travel in Outlander, feel free to weigh in. Call in.
Yes, please.
Dial the hotline.
Or not. I mean, I think I'm one of those things that's, like, kind of better left unexplained, but again, I haven't watched the show enough. Before I let you go, there are a couple of commenters. Both Jacqueline and Crystal are lauding the costume design as amazing, outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Is that part of the reason you're interested in it, or do you think that it's...
It's an added bonus.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I think that's another great part of it too. And I think there was an article about the costume designer too. I think they spend so much time and detail into, you know, creating their costumes. And I know for the wedding episode, they spent a lot of time on her dress specifically, trying to mix in elements of the, you know, of the 18th century, as well as where her present time is in the 1960s or 70s or so. So that's a really big part of costume design this year. And I thought that was super interesting. So I definitely love seeing that part of it too. And even just their production in general is absolutely amazing. I took a trip to Scotland a couple of years ago and I did the whole Outlander tour. I was driving and I took pictures in front of all the major. So, you know, I think that's part of it too, is sometimes people love watching the show and then they go and see these places in person. And some of these places is where they're filming. So I feel like their production and costume also adds to why everyone loves the show so much.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just try to pick it up into season 5 and see if I get into it.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, couple days off. And we're going to cover Outlander on Wick. Feel free to tune in for that. Any final thoughts, Ariba, on Outlander season 5 or Outlander in general?
I'm excited for the season 5 premiere this Sunday, and I'm excited to see the wedding. I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for, so definitely looking forward to that.
Very cool. And we'll cover it on Wick. Thanks thanks much for being on here, Ariba.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
All right.
Adios. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Outlander. Time-traveling romance. I should get into it more. I should, because I know it's so big. And I try to, you know, watch and read everything I can this kind of in this area. But there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading Wheel of Time now, which is like this big. But, you know, I will get to it. I'll get to everything I possibly can. And I can never remember. Rock Island, Stone Island, whatever. Forget it. Okay. There are. It's a must watch, says Jacqueline. I will try. I'm going to try. All right. So there are other things going on in the world of entertainment. Alan and Five is around the corner. But you also want to talk about, we got some new picks yesterday, I think.
Yeah, yesterday. This dropped from Entertainment Weekly. They have a big Wonder Woman feature coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So they dropped a couple new photos from Wonder Woman.
1984.
That's the sequel. Yeah. So
that's a fun one.
Yeah. So they say that one of like kind of the opening scenes is like just basically Wonder Woman and she's kicking butt in a mall. So I feel like it might be a little Stranger Things-esque because it's like, yeah, we've literally just been back in this time period for Stranger Things, but I am...
Stranger Things, Pose, like, it's all about the 80s.
Yeah, it's all about the 80s. And so that kind of plays a big part in Pedro Pascal's role, too. He plays, Maxwell Lord, who they're like is this kind of Tony Robbins like figure, you can get anything that you want, you deserve this, you da 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 da.
With Kristen Wiig,
yes, with Kristen
the
Wiig,
villain, the cheetah,
as cheetah, yeah.
Okay, is that a fun choice, interesting choice, weird choice?
To
what?
Cast
because obviously she's known for being SNL, one of the funniest SNL people to come out in a long time, by the way. But, like, I'll admit, when I heard, so you're going to be a comic book movie villain, huh?
It's going to be hard for me to see her in a role that's kind of, like, where she has to be, like, as a villain has to be serious. Like, I can kind of see her playing, an action, because it's like, oh, she's joking, right? Like, this isn't really her. But I'm open to the idea, obviously.
Well, I'm open to it.
And she was talking about how she just, like, worked really hard, because it's something that she's not used to. In that photo. Yeah. So I think, I don't know if like her and Pedro Pascal are going to be like the two villains. Definitely her.
Seems like it, right?
But yeah, I think his character in the comics either way is a villain. And she's a gymologist.
A gemologist. Which sounds like a mate. I'm sure it's real. It sounds like something you would make up when you're like, I want to be a gemologist. Well, that's not a real thing.
Yeah. So that's her profession there. So this picture right there, they're in her office and they're pointing at this, what they call an ancient artifact, which I guess is like the MacGuffin of the movie. Sure. So I'm assuming
it's a gem. She's in her gemology practice.
I'm assuming Pedro Pascal is going to like want it for like unlimited power or, it's got some of these, high quality. Maybe it's from, what's that, Themyscira, where she's from.
Right.
So I'm sure unless, Patty Jenkins has a better idea, which, we'll never know what happens until the movie comes out. But I feel like that might be the kind of like central plot to it. We'll find out later.
It'll be a good time. I mean, I like what I read about the city in the 80s, not just kind of because they want to do this whole, kind of Gordon Gekko Wall Street greed is good parody thing.
Yeah.
Which makes sense for Wonder Woman because she is all about, truth and love and beauty and justice. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to put her against kind of a consumerist villain.
And to be in DC, like the levels of meta, the Capitol, the United States government.
Oh, yeah.
Lady Justice.
All the iconography, like the White House stuff is cool. And we have this photo of her and her.
Oh my God.
I'm sure it's
her new comic reference,
I have no doubt.
Yeah. With the wings. Oh, I'm in love. So this movie looks really fun.
That looks like she's wearing fencing in that one particular photo.
It kind of does, yeah.
And I'm sure in motion it looks like wings.
Yeah. Get ready for Wonder Woman to take flight this summer.
With aluminum siding.
No, don't make fun of her.
It looks great.
Yeah, it looks great.
Are you a comics person? Like, if you read the Wonder Woman comics?
You know what?
I know that's like from the comics. That
It's hard for me to get into. Which is weird because I'm a visual person, but not when it comes to comics for some reason. It's like I either like straight novels or I like straight movies, but I don't like the pictures and the words together.
Don't you mix those together.
No, I get very particular about that. But I do, it's like I either like know enough of the comic book history just by like osmosis, or, you know, because obviously comics are a lot to keep up with too, and then they have like these different runs and all that stuff. But yeah, there's that. And of course, I don't think we have a picture of Steve Trevor. Chris Pine is in this movie. And I'm starting to think that he might be like a figment of her imagination or something.
He's wearing a fanny pack. And
it is the 80s.
So even her figments have to wear fanny packs and yeah. act like they're like 40-year-old grandpas, but in young bodies walking around yeah. understanding things.
Because they, so in the Entertainment Weekly story, they were talking about how like, you know, it's the 80s. World War One was so long ago. All her friends have died and it's like kind of lonely for her. And so I'm like, this is a coping mechanism. She's going to imagine Steve Trevor being alive because she is like, you know, losing it. But not losing it. Losing
I
mean, it.
I guess that would make more sense than Steve Trevor hopping through a wormhole and coming to 1986 yeah. or whatever. But I don't like that kind of, I'm not sure that I like that either.
Just yeah.
like, you know, she's lost her friends, but she's, does she really need to imagine an imaginary friend and yeah. walk around with her and like,
because Chris Pine was saying, he was like, yeah, he's like, I kind of just like a background role. I'm like the Watson to her home sort of thing. So it's like, okay. So yeah.
It's giving me slight Palpatine vibes where do you really need to be here?
Yeah.
A little bit. But yeah. we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think they're like, we like that Chris Pine kid. Oh, it's a shame he had to die. So, like, yeah, it looks really
good.
Yeah.
That's my problem. Like, just because it's a shame he had to die doesn't mean he has to be back.
Yeah.
Like,
so yeah.
You can let things go. It's possible.
What a concept. I
mean, but maybe it'll be great. It does. The movie itself looks really good. I'm looking yeah. forward to it. Definitely yeah. one of my more interested in things mm-hmm. movies coming up in the
yeah
year.
It looks very fun.
Wait, speaking of superheroes, you want to chat about the Birds of Prey
yeah.
Well, I don't know, controversy.
Yeah, I want to stray away from like the whole, I know I pitched it as controversy because it is, it's buzzy. Birds of Prey isn't buzzy.
So yeah, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation yes. One Harley Quinn is out now this weekend. I did not see it. I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I will try to make time to see it.
Yeah, I got sick over the weekend. I was like, oh, I'm shut in.
I thought it looked pretty fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. It has really great reviews. Yesterday I checked like 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, like tomato meter and audience score. So it's getting really good reviews. Rosie
Perez and brass knuckles.
Yeah. Can't beat that. But it opened domestically to $33 million. And what about $84 million, you know, worldwide. So it's like yeah. they did make back their budget, which is good. But it was still under the numbers that DC Warner Brothers had projected, yeah, which was probably like in the 50s, yeah. 40s, 50s, which to that extent made it the lowest DC opening to date compared to Shazam, which was like 53, I think.
That surprised you?
Yeah.
That surprised me because, I mean, honestly, I thought the marketing was pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay, we're putting... It's interesting because the main reason they made this movie pretty much because everyone was so receptive to Harley Quinn and yeah. Suicide Squad.
Which did like decently.
Yes.
Despite getting shellacked.
Yes, Suicide Squad did decently, even though that was like, I watched that like last weekend or weekend before, like watched it over and I was like, ooh, that was a rough watch. But Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie is what made the movie fun. And so like, I don't doubt that Birds of Prey, you know, is a fun movie, but unfortunately it's like, they didn't draw people to theaters, which is kind of disappointing, but yeah. So the big thing that was going on yesterday was now that this goes with some wording too. Technically Warner Brothers did not change the title of Birds of Prey, but they encouraged, what is this? AMC, Regal Cinemas, all these theater chains to change the titling to Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, which is more of like, I guess, what did you call it? Like a search engine optimization
yeah,
friendly
exactly.
term.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. So
rather than the admittedly long yeah, original title, but like Fantasy, good. Yeah. I actually think it's a great title because it's really fun and interesting. And
it's a fun title. Yeah. So everybody was like,
it is not SEO optimized.
Yeah. It's like, well, Harley Quinn is in the subtitle, but nobody uses the subtitle. So it's like, I don't know if and how it'll make a difference. I feel like if you just Google search Harley Quinn movie, Birds of Prey will come up anyway. Totally. or like you probably already had your mind made up about whether or not you wanted to see this movie. So I'm not really sure how it's going to do, you know, if it'll pick up steam or because the box office this weekend is it's like Sonic, the Will Ferrell
movie. Sonic, man. Can't fight that.
Which actually I'm going to go see because my dad really wants to see it.
Sure.
And it's James Marsden, though. So and Jim Carrey. But yeah, Birds of Prey, I don't know how
I have a nephew who might make me take him. And Sonic. Like, I'll do it. And I'll only be like a little resistant.
I know, you know what, legitimately though, I want to see it because I know like a lot of people like growing up my age or like our generation were like, oh yeah, I'm a really big Nintendo kid. We never had Nintendo growing up. We had the Sega Dreamcast and like PlayStation 2. So we played a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog video games. So that is like really embedded in my childhood, oddly. So I actually am going to be seeing that this weekend.
God bless.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
I mean, the bad thing about like things like the Birds of Prey news is that like whenever there's like an underperforming, which by the way is very relatively speaking, because like $23 million is like, and like in no circumstance but this one is at a small amount of money. Mm-hmm. But like whenever that kind of happens, they use it as an excuse to say like, oh, this kind of movie doesn't work. We shouldn't make ones like that. So exactly. Like that, I think, is the fear.
Right.
Like this kind of cool, interesting, edgy, female-driven, directed, written movie doesn't make like a ton of money. They're like, okay, so the entire thing doesn't work. Anything exactly, like doesn't work, yeah. Which is, I think,
yeah, that's what I'm like.
The unfortunate result, maybe
hoping that, you know, the trolls. Luckily now the trolls. Well, I think Rotten Tomatoes fixed the like trolling system where they just like tank the scores. I think that happened like right around Ghostbusters, or was it
around like Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel. That. Oh yeah, that was it. Because it was like I think it kind of started with like Ghostbusters and then The Force Awakens, and then yeah, Captain Marvel was like the tipping point. We're like, a woman in a movie. This is where I draw the line.
I know that there are like the people online will like argue against it, like the people are just expressing their opinions. Like, it doesn't seem like a coincidence to you that all the movies that get tanked are like females. Yeah. Like all of them. Like, yeah. What does it ever happen? Like, it's a little suspicious.
Yeah. But and it's like they got on these crusades and they kind of like pump it up to like, you know, overemphasizing like where it's really falsifying like how these people are feeling about it, kind of like, which is really crazy out there, but you know, like Russians meddling like in a political campaign. Yeah, it's like they're just, there's a word that I'm trying to think of here.
They get the Marvel thing, Russia, at some point.
I think so, yeah.
I shouldn't talk on that because I'm really
yeah, we're really getting deep in here, but yeah, it's like, oh yeah, just creating all these accounts and just spewing stuff just to create, you know, fake chaos where it doesn't really exist. So that's a
great Wit Club topic.
Honestly. Yeah.
Ooh. You see some stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Our Birds of Prey retrospective mashed in with all of that. So.
And finally, yeah. I just want to finish up with what are we watching? So I want to ask you about your Westworld run through because I've got some news in there. Basically, I'm not watching anything new. Avenue 5 still kind of sucks.
I did watch Avenue 5. I think I watched it. Yeah. 1 through 3, I didn't watch 4.
Oh, you dove in.
I did watch it, yes.
What do you think?
For me,
I'm like, it's not aggressively in your face horrible. It's just, it's not nearly at the level I need it to be to like love it.
My problem with it is that I'll say it's like I don't know what's going on each episode. Where it feels like each episode doesn't really have like an arc. Like I'm like, they're just kind of doing stuff and it's not very organized or structured.
Very much. It's so weird because it's a comedy and like comedies have low stakes, but it's like using dramatic techniques like cliffhangers.
Yeah.
And like full arcs, but like this does not fit.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't fit what you're doing. Yeah. And that small little, so I like Hugh Laurie. He's amazing. He's been switching accents.
Yeah.
For some reason, like I think he's such a great actor that it's like, I realized it and then I don't. I was like, wait, was he using American? And then it's like my mind was playing tricks on me until the woman who, the really like vocal one,
Karen,
came Hazard. Up. She's like, wait, you're British? And I was like, oh, okay. So he has been doing that. So shout out to Hugh Laurie for, I think they're working with what they've got and they're doing their best.
I mean, the thing is like, they've got a lot.
Yeah.
It's an expensive looking show.
Yeah.
They're spending money on this. It's just not working for me.
No.
I think it's pretty rough.
Yeah, you're gonna keep watching.
I volunteered to review it like an idiot, thinking it was going to be really good.
It's low stakes for people involved. At least it's like, you know, half hour episodes weekly, yes, so you don't have to binge. Nice. So just 30 minutes, just like exercise, 30 minutes a day, not even for this.
I'm also watching The Outsider, yeah. Not The Outlander. I could try to watch Outlander. The Outsider, Stephen King thing. Very, very creepy, very, very good. I'm enjoying it. We're almost done. It's wrapping up. McMillions I watched. That was pretty fun. That FBI McMillions, agent, yeah. Dude. I mean,
the centric one.
Yeah. I'm like torn between you're very charming and how do you have this job?
Yeah, I liked him at first and then he's like, oh, he's one of those guys, just really gets on you. But I mean, you gotta give it to him for, you know, being able to kind of spark that whole thing and have that drive. So but
mainly I wanted to ask you about Westworld, which you're watching now. They had a new poster for season 3 out. They just released today. It's pretty cool, I think.
I'm by no means able to analyze this.
Yeah, I won't.
Well, free will is
either.
Not free. I mean, that's kind of a whole overarching theme there. But so
sounds
I
like
am
the Vermont state logo for robots or something.
I am.
Which one is Live Free or Die? Is it New Hampshire or Vermont? I don't know.
Halfway through season 2.
Oh,
so ideally, I could finish it by this week, depending on how I feel. But I really, you know what? I don't know when the last time I talked to you about it was, but I know one of the things
you were in season 1.
I was in season 1. I was like I was like on the penultimate episode, and I was like, everything has been revealed. I don't know why there's still another episode left. And you're like, no, trust me, you'll know why. And then when I finally watched it, I was like, oh, Dan was right. I was like literally thinking he was right. That was good. So much, you know, revealed about the, you know, Man in the Black Hat and the connection about the timelines, and that just completely.
And Dolores goes ape and just starts killing
folks.
That
completely blew me away. But that is my criticism though about season 2 is I love Dolores in season 1. I don't like her in season 2. To me, it's like, obviously, it's out of character. It's a character change, but I also couldn't see that being her character progression because it was like she was just so nice and sweet and charming mm-hmm. and caring. And then for her to just be like this ruthless dictator sort of person, I was like, but would she really do that? I don't know. Like Maeve, yeah, she's, you know, she's been
more consistent.
She's been pretty consistent. That's just been her. But what I did, like, I just watched the Shogun World episode.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful show.
Yeah, which to me kind of felt like a filler episode, but that was a really fun one to kind of see, you know, how the parks have expanded, to see even, like, I think the one in, like, India or however that worked. So I'm really liking how they kind of, like, took it past as, like, okay, they had the kind of, like, revolution, and what are they going to do now? So I think it's, like, I've been exploring, like, the whole Delos thing or whatever the company is called. And so, I really, really like it. I'm excited.
Cool.
I'm going to enjoy it.
I mean, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in season 3.
Yeah.
Because I won't spoil anything for you. Yeah. But there's another big shift at the end of this one.
Oh, gosh.
It's kind of their MO. They're always shifting around.
Yeah.
Repiloting like crazy. Christian says, The Outsider has been a very good, nice watch. Creeps the wife out good. I'm glad. I watch it myself.
Yeah.
my partner goes to bed. And I'm like, it is quite creepy. I'm enjoying it. And that's what we're watching.
Yeah.
What are you watching? Say it in the next couple seconds. We're about the end of the episode. We'll be back next week, of course, with more, you know, news, reviews, insight, analysis, talking about anything you guys want to talk about or what we're interested in. If you have time, we are available on iTunes, Google Play. Feel free to go leave an 18-star review, 5-star if you can't manage that, and a positive written review if you'd be so kind, if you're interested. And otherwise, we'll be back with more of this next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time here at the Windows Point Facebook page. Thanks for watching, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.